This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And Ciso.
Hello and welcome back to Seagull Social Season 4. I think it's episode 33 or 34. We have just got battered by Roma for 4 as well, funnily enough. It's been a mental past few days.
Funnily enough.
funnily enough. It's not very funny, is it? I'm absolutely shattered. I think everyone's pretty shattered. It's Saturday morning. Jack is also very shattered. We both, came back last night. Got back around 2-ish. I think Jack got back a bit earlier. Luckily for us, we are joined by Jack. If you're new to this because you want to hear Jack's story, Jack does come on the pod quite a lot. If you don't know much about Jack's story as well, I'm sure he'll say, but there's not a more popular Brighton fan. The reception that he got in the stadium, around the ground, everywhere, online, was just incredible and completely justified. Like, he goes to every single game. If you see him in the concourse, every Tom, Dick and Harry comes up to him and says hello, gives him a hug. He's the most lovable person ever. And the fact this has happened to him is just insane. We're lucky to have you, Jack, on a Saturday morning, because I'm sure you're so tired and you've been bombarded by a lot of people. How are you doing on this Saturday morning, Jack?
Yeah, I'm good, actually. Yeah, pretty relaxed. I've had two good nights' sleep now. I'm pretty, I'm not over it, but, you know, it happened and just got to get on with it, really. And, I'm happy to be back in the UK, for starters. Won't be rushing back to Rome. but other than that, yeah, I'm good. I found it all a bit embarrassing in the ground, but it's really nice to have such a good reception from people. And it's really nice from a lot of people are actually very concerned for me, because as much as Ben's given me a very big start there at how everybody likes me, I do, as much as people probably think I'm quite humble about it. I just think I'm just some bloke who goes to the football. Even when I come on a podcast, I do find it baffling that people seem to agree with my opinions, because sometimes I just think I'm talking a load of shit. Normally, when I'm defending Jason Steele all the time, people probably disagree with that.
To be fair, Jack, you do talk a lot of shit, but at the same time, you do talk a lot of sense as well. So, we're always so happy to have you on the podcast, and you're a very popular member of the Brighton community. And you're a lovely bloke, mate. So I was really sad to hear about it, but I'm so glad you've taken it so well, and you're all good. Well, as good as you can be, I suppose.
Yeah. Do you know what? It hurt at the time. I think luckily I'd had a bit to drink. A bit to drink. And that did seem to numb the pain. I also, in serious situations, which is not always the greatest thing in the world, but I'm not always the greatest at taking it all incredibly seriously. So I think my humour throughout it all did seem to carry me through it.
Flesh wound.
Yeah, just a mere flesh wound, which I tweeted almost straight away after being stabbed 3 times by, if I look at the hole in my trousers, quite a hefty blade. So, but yeah, no, and also before, my friend Andy was also stabbed, and he also was quite severely injured. So shout out to him. He's taken it really well. We've both done really well, both back in the UK now. You know, he's someone who I've grown up with since, I've been to school with since I was year seven, so about 10 years old, and probably one of my best mates. So I'm really happy that we're both fine, but and we've sort of shared the experience in a way, because it's a story to tell for sure.
Yeah, he's an absolute warrior. He he turned up to our hotel at like 8 a.m. after being released from the hospital. A different hospital to you as well, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah, yeah. He went to one which decided to release him after like an hour, whereas the bloody one I was in kept me for 13 hours. They're really helpful staff, but I was just like, can I just go? I just want to go.
Well, helpful to an extent, because they didn't get it. Was the hotel that ended up giving you a crutch?
Yeah, the crutch situation. Yeah, yeah. The crutch situation is one the only thing I'm unhappy about. But other than that, it's fine.
Jack, how do you do it? That's what I would. I find it insane, unbelievable that the fact that everything you've gone through the last 3 days, and not only the actual incident itself, but the amount of people that have given you so much recognition, and everyone wanting to speak to you, and the amount of support, like even just that alone is overwhelming. Let alone the incident, let alone the pain, I'd imagine, and you know, being with your mates out abroad and then coming home, mate. I don't know how you're still so happy and bubbly. I think it's just commendable, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know really. I think it's a very good question. I can't lie. I think it's just, I don't know. I like to take things with a bit of happiness, even a football, like, you know, I think it's obviously gutting when we lose, for example, obviously going to all the games, but sometimes at games, you just lose and you just got to get on with it. And that's kind of what this feels like. Like, you know, I suppose I've been stabbed and I've got to get on with it and just kind of, you know, enjoy my time, because you never know how long it'll all last. I suppose that's the Brighton way of thinking. You know, this Europa League is enjoying it all, because, you know, tomorrow it could just be over and we could be relegated back to League Two. So might as well enjoy it while we're still here.
I just wanted to say, Jack, I saw your quote. I think it was with Sky, and you said, "I'm so glad it happened to me because all the rest of the boys are much older." And I thought that was such a like powerful statement. And I know, yeah. like you're such a.
Mate, I'm only 28, like 27, mate. Fucking hell.
Yeah, well, Ben. Yeah, that was that. Yeah, somebody reported me as 29 years old. It's quite nice. Someone referred to me as a young man in the media. That was nice. That was a nice little confident boost. But yeah,
you needed
no,
that, didn't you?
You know, I go with some older people. I go with some people who have disabilities. And they're with me at the time, and I'm happy they'd set upon me rather than them, because that could have been a really, really serious situation. If I mean, Ben knows Claudio very well, absolute legend of the game, absolute lunatic sometimes, but absolute legend of the game. And if he had got caught, he could have been really badly injured, and my friend Scott could have been really badly injured. So I'm really pleased they were okay. And you know, a couple of the other boys took a few digs. A good friend of mine, Matt, just texted me and just said my shoulder hurts. And I was like, well, thank you for that, Matt, but I've got a lot more problems to deal with right now.
Yeah.
And Joey took quite a few digs to the face. So, yeah, it is what it is.
Jack, what actually happened? What happened in the moment?
I'd just like to say, shout out to McDonald's for Ben. Because Ben was with me and was going to walk home with me.
Yeah, I heard about this.
To this exact situation, but he decided to walk a different route because he wanted a McDonald's.
And completely
avoided the situation. So, very well done to him.
McToasties. Yeah. Like, if it wasn't for George Graham, Jack, I wouldn't have gone for that McToasty. You were very drunk. I'll start from the pub and then you can lead on to where it all kicked off for you. So, yeah, we were at this place called the Shamrock near the Coliseum. A few police vans around. By the time we left, I want to say it was like half one, maybe.
I think it was a bit earlier, about 12:30.
Oh, was it? Okay, right. And then, I mean, we were pretty drunk. Jack was, drunk. So when we had left, he was chatting to Sussex police down the road, who were all just in, they weren't in uniform at all. And they were like, just be careful, walk along this main road, and you should be fine, but whatever.
And we did walk along the main road. It wasn't...
We did walk,
Yeah, I think... Did. Well, should I tell the story of it?
Yeah, go for it.
So what happened, we walked probably about 20 minutes along the road. We weren't in colours. I think that was, weren't in colours. We were in a little bit of, you know, a couple of my mates, like at the Stone Island stuff like that, but nothing like to provoke. Then yeah, walked about 20 minutes, genuinely couldn't tell you when it happened. It was a very main road, one of the main roads up to Termini Station. They must have come from behind me, kicked me to the floor, kicked me against the wall in the face. Have no idea at what point I was stabbed. Andy then picked me up, dragged me into a restaurant. dragged into the restaurant. Then where did I... And then, so yeah, went into this restaurant. All these poor families having dinner with me just bleeding everywhere. And I was just walking around apologising to them all for ruining their meal. Because that would be awful. Imagine having a nice family meal and some guy comes out bleeding. and I didn't realise I was... I'd
I think it's the least of the concerns at that
said,
point,
look at
Jack,
your leg,
to be
sir.
Fair.
look at your leg, sir. And I looked at my leg and it was just bleeding. So then the staff in that restaurant were amazing. So they helped me out, rang the police and an ambulance. Then a very... Would I say comedic? Yes, comedic moment happened. The ambulance turned up and crashed into a bollard.
Fucking hell.
So then they had to call another ambulance.
Oh my gosh.
An ambulance for the ambulance.
Yeah, so they had to call another ambulance to come help me because they'd already... Because the first one had crashed. It was just... At that point, it was a farce. I didn't feel that bad. I was ready to go home. I just thought it wasn't that bad. And how wrong I was. And then I went in an ambulance and then it was all a bit of a blur because I was just lying on my side. And then went through an MRI machine, all sorts of stuff, went everywhere, all around this Italian hospital. And then eventually got to the end, and it was all sorted. Got to the end, stitched me up. I remember the guy saying, "Please, sir, can you stop talking?" when he was trying to stitch me up, because I was talking so much.
That's very unlike you.
Yeah, I know. I think I was had the alcohol in, and I was just talking nonsense. They're like, "You need to stop talking, sir. Please, please stop talking."
Yeah, do you remember 97-98 season, Hereford away?
Yeah, exactly.
Shut up, mate.
And then as I was getting wheeled out after I got stitches, I said. I need to play football next week with work. I need to play five-a-side. And he just went, no, you're not going to be doing that. And I went, fair enough. And then I just lay in a hospital for ages. It was all very intense. And then I sort of rang my mum.
Can I?
It was quite, but the thing was, it was 2 a.m, so everybody I was ringing, no one was picking up because I think I managed to get through to a few of the boys who were also attacked. Yeah. And just told them what happened and just told them we're in the hospital and I'm okay. So I was just going on any social media trying to get attention to get in contact with someone. I was putting posts on the weirdest places. I rang my manager at work and he answered and I was just like, he said, "Well, it's good to hear you're okay, but I'm not really sure what I can do about this." And I went,
fucking hell.
Yeah, fair enough, man. It was,
see you Monday.
But and then thank God my mum was there to watch the game.
See you,
yeah, my mum was there to watch the game, so she managed to come and help me, so and help everything at the hospital. So that was really good.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah.
Just quick one, Jack. With regards to the actual stabbing, like where did they actually get you? Was it in the leg or
in the arse? They got me in the arse. It's the it's the Italian.
Oh, really?
Well, this is the thing. It's was it Roma fans? Was it? I have no idea. We still don't know to this time.
I feel like they targeted us though, because that was literally the rowdiest, like probably Brighton pub. We're all
yeah, saying, I think what it is like European football's crazy. People, European ultras are crazy, and you know I've had experience. I've chatted to some in Marseille and Athens, or people who claim to be ultras. If you've got a shirt on which just says Marseille Ultra, that's probably a big giveaway. But those people were really nice, actually. Funnily enough, I didn't speak to any Roma ultras. I spoke to some Roma fans in restaurants and stuff, and I spoke to some ultras and stuff like that. And they weren't bad people. Like they were mental people, and they're very passionate about their sport, and you do question some of their motives, whether it's more about, but at the end of the day, they wouldn't attack you for no reason, I don't think. So I do wonder, these people sort of know that they're in the football game on that night and either wear the colours or act in the name of the football club. But they have nothing to do with the football club whatsoever at all. Or they just use it as an excuse. And I think I definitely noticed that in Marseille, for example. Someone said, because we were quite bothered on the night before, we were sort of nothing to this serious extent. But the Marseille Ultra said, it's probably just local gangs rather than actual ultras or football supporters. So I do, while that we reckon that it was football related that we were attacked, I don't know whether these people were people who were even anywhere near the football game or any related, because I've changed my mind on it now. But at the game, I was sort of jokingly saying, I said, wow, this display looks amazing in the ground. If they hadn't stabbed me, I would have said that would look really good. And yes, they threw a few stuff over, but I don't know. I like to think of it, try not to think of it football related now, and just think it was a local gang or some people who probably weren't at the game and just there to cause violence. But then also, that's Italian football does have some crazy history. And I think a lot of this ultra movement has moved almost away from the football. And the ones who go to the football are just passionate supporters. Yeah. And then it's sort of descended into gangs, yeah. Yeah, sorry, that's that was a like, weird answer. But yeah.
No, all good. No, I think that's what really baffles me is like, how do you get to a stage where you follow your football club and you think,
yeah,
right, I want to go and stab someone. I want to go and cause serious harm to someone over a game of football. Like, yeah, like you say, your theory could well be right, because I think any true football fan wouldn't go out their way to harm someone in the name of football. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of us was robbed. Andy was robbed. They didn't rob anything. I wasn't robbed of anything. They probably saw my iPhone 8 and just went, no, you can have that. And they went like, yeah, I'm not having that. Bloody hell, you can't even get up for scrap now. But Andy had his passport stolen and I think some other stuff. And there were the few robbings of other people that I heard about. So shout out to them. I hope they're all right. Tommy, a mate of mine, he got his phone nicked. So I hope everything's okay. He seems
That's
to
the worst part, isn't it though, Jack?
Yeah.
Not only is it like the physical stress, it's also like all the admin you have to do afterwards.
Yeah, definitely.
Even just coming back, like Andy had to, on match day, did he go to the British Embassy to like sort out?
There's a few people I really want to thank, which is the British consulate, a man called Lawrence Pinamonte, I think his name was. Works at the British consulate, really amazing guy. Helped me with everything in the hospital. Did an absolutely stellar job, spoke Italian. Yeah, I think it's, you know, we're lucky to have such a good consulate service abroad who can help you in sort of any city. I think as well, I want to thank people at the football club. The head of security at the football club was really good, came to the hospital to see me and talk to me.
Yeah, he's there on the night.
He also sorted out access to the stadium for Andy without his passport, because obviously we have to show ID. And yeah, everything was really, really well done. Football club really good. They rang me at 8 in the morning, knew about it. Darren Balcombe rang me in the morning. And then as well, the authorities in Rome. I mean, I don't believe they're ever going to catch them, the people who robbed me. But, you know, they took a report. And they made sure my travel insurance covered all the costs by giving me a police report. So that's all good.
That's handy.
Also, shout out Admiral Holiday Cover as well. not an ad, just a personal thank you. So
can we get a shout out as well?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, you can all get shout outs.
Shout on our own platform.
And shout out to everybody who did message me and say, "Are you okay?" Because I got messages from everyone that I could think of, you know, on my WhatsApp, there was like 100 messages. And I've tried to respond to every single person possible. The most,
it was so good to see football come together for you, Jack.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yeah. And even
fans of all clubs messaging you.
Yeah. And even some Crystal Palace fans and some nice messages from even the famous Beak of Beak Street, who the world's biggest wind-up merchant dropped me a message to ask me if I'm okay. Like, as much as he's an absolute terrorist to the platform of X, he sent me a message. He's a really nice guy. So
You did get a message from a player as well, Jack, right?
Yeah. So got a message from Jack Hinchwood. That was really nice to get a message from him to ask if I'm okay. So a big shout-out to him. Just messages from everywhere, really. So it was really nice to get all these shout outs.
Was it a bit surreal when you were getting? Well, so I know it was even surreal for us when we were still like walking around Rome with George, Scott, and Joey at the time, and we were going to McDonald's again. Shock! I didn't actually eat at McDonald's.
I didn't have a single McDonald's in Italy. I'm gutted. I really wanted one, but I just didn't have time. No kebab either.
I try the Italian cuisine in McDonald's, mate. It's brilliant. But it was just the surreal thing was you're getting push notifications from Sky News, Sky Sports, and all this sort of stuff. Was that really surreal when all that started happening? And suddenly,
I think it's just a
story on Twitter to, it's, yeah, global.
Yeah, like I needed to ring my gran and tell her because I was like, shit, if she sees that on TV, she's going to be like, oh my God, my son's been stabbed. My grandson's been stabbed, so I'm glad she managed to get some information. It's quite surreal to be like national news for the day. But
the amount of messages I would get are screenshots of the news, and then I'd be like, "Oh, I hope you didn't get stabs, balls, haha." And then I'd be like, "I know my mate actually did, by the way."
Yeah. I think it was Ollie, his manager, rang, and he was like, "Yeah, you know that mate I always talk about? He's the one who got stabbed." So.
I had similar as well. I was getting DMs going, was it Jack from your podcast that got stabbed? I was like, not something I wanted to say yes to, but I was like, it was. And
you wanted to make sure, wasn't it? I remember when Ben sent that message into the WhatsApp chat in the morning, and I thought, oh my God, I just instantly went to go message Jack. I was like, are you okay? I think you replied instantly, and I didn't hear from you the rest of the day. I was like,
sorry if I didn't really.
When I saw it all coming through on social media, oh mate, I'm not expecting you to reply to me, my God. But no, Jack, I mean, as I said to you before, the way you've handled all of this is seriously unbelievable. I mean, I know you won't appreciate it at the moment, and it'll probably be one that you'll think about in a week, 2 weeks, maybe even a month's time. But seriously, mate, you've done unbelievable. And I think anyone listening to this will think, what a man, and how you've handled it. And
I can't say
that and emphasize it enough to you.
Yeah. And also, like, genuinely, and I thank everybody who's, defended me when people have given me stick. Some of the jokes have been really funny. Like, some of the abuse that I've got. The one where the guy was like, if he wasn't such a fat bastard, he wouldn't have been able to get stabbed. And I was like, well, actually, the padding probably helped.
I was going to say, it's protection.
The padding probably helped. So,
No, Jack.
And then the best one, though, shout out to, Arthur on Twitter. I know him from the Amex, see him in West Ham, quite a lot. Who posted the Ian Wright video where he
so good.
Where he goes, Roma Ultras sing that Yellow Jacket in the stand. So that was the best one of the lot.
Jack,
that was
one of my favourites was it sounds really bad. I'm like, my favourite meme of Jack getting stabbed was, when you know the one that Wilf done 2 weeks ago saying Jack running away from the
Ultras,
and I was like, what the actual hell? And then your quote tweet when you said I wasn't quick enough killed me. That is actually incredible. Mate, just to say what Ryan said, like the way you've taken it, honestly, I think you're very similar to me in the sense of like in these kind of situations, I'd be the same as you. I'd make a joke out of it. I'd make light of it.
What can you do? You know, if you just sit there like worrying about it and being scared, essentially the people that attack you won, because if you're getting like, you know, if you've been attacked and then they've won, so you've got to show that you're not scared, and that's why I wanted to make sure that me and Andy definitely got to the game to show them that you can't stop us if you want to attack us, because football's about going to the game and enjoying yourself. Well, football's about going to the game, maybe not enjoying yourself during the game. I enjoyed myself during the game. It was it was emotional to be there, and it was very surreal having your name sung. As much as I found it all a bit embarrassing, but it was amazing that so many people were worried about me.
So. More of the same in the north on Sunday.
Back on Sunday. Sure, no stop.
Mate, you're going to get an absolute hero's welcome when you turn up.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
They need to do like a Simon Adingra, like AFCON winner type announcement to get him on the pitch before the game.
Let's make it happen.
So, Jack,
if I see you in the West Stand, I'll get you a beer. 100%.
He's going to be if he's going to get so many beers on Sunday. Jesus Christ.
Really worryingly, this is the worst thing, the whole thing. I can't drink beer because of the antibiotics for a bit. Sober Sunday. Not sure about watching a game sober. Not sure what that's all it's cracked up to be, to be honest. But yeah.
Right, mate. Well, I think, I don't know if anyone's got any more questions. I know you're waiting for a bacon sarnie, aren't you, Jack?
So. Yeah, I am waiting for a bacon sarnie. Shout out to my flatmate, Matt, as well, who I think is going to be, waited on me hand and foot. So absolute hero
just
he is.
Last question, Jack. Does it, like, when you're laying down now, does it hurt? Or
not really, no. It actually probably hurts more to, like, bend my leg and stuff like that. Mm. So I can't put too much pressure on it. It's not great, but it's doable. I can move around. I'm not like stuck to the ground.
It sounds really stupid, but I mean, like, how what did it feel like? You know, that sounds really dumb, but you know, to be stabbed, I can't comprehend.
Neither can I really.
Stabbed.
Yeah, because people always go like, because I've
yeah, it's horrible to say, but you know what I'm trying to say.
One of my friends, Matt, finds it very funny that I always say I've never been punched in the face, because he's convinced that I should be punched in the face by someone. Because the amount of
that
time
is surprising. Like, that is very surprising.
Yeah, exactly. So that didn't quite happen in the end. But so I always say, well, I don't know what it feels like to be punched in the face. And to be honest, I still don't really know, because it just happened so quickly. And like I said, I went into the restaurant and didn't know I'd been stabbed. So I just walked around going, sorry for ruining your meal. And then when I did see the stab and the blood, I think I did shout, Jesus effing Christ, at the top of my voice, Andy said. And I went, oh, Jesus, no. And then the ambulance crashed into a bollard, I think.
The trip couldn't get any worse for you.
There's that bit in The Simpsons where Homer jumps over the gorge. And then he gets in the ambulance, and then he drives us in the ambulance, and the ambulance crashes into a rock, and he falls down the gorge again.
You do give me just Homer Simpson vibes, to be fair.
I did feel very Homer Simpson in that situation. I had no idea I'd been stabbed. I don't know when I got stabbed. But it happened, and yeah. I'm stitched up now.
Initial fear of being jumped, and you know, having that for me, I would have been freaking out if I saw people on mopeds come over and kick me to the ground. I think I'd have been absolutely terrified, let alone seeing wounds.
From what I can gather, they came from behind me and just basically kicked me first. And I think the reason they targeted me first was because I'm the biggest person in the group.
You literally,
like, in terms of stature and size. I'd had a couple to drink, so I was probably the most drunk. I wouldn't say I've been far worse in times before.
The alcohol mixed with the insane adrenaline must have been more powerful than any morphine that a hospital would give.
100%. 100%. The adrenaline was just keeping me going.
When you showed me your trousers, I was like, that is insane. Like the claret all over them. Yeah, the holes in them as well. It looks sober, nice. Like, even your jumper had like holes in them as well. So
There's holes in my sleeve, but I haven't been stabbed on my sleeve, so I don't know what that was all about.
Jack, next time, if we ever get back to Europe again, you need to start wearing Kevlar, mate.
Yeah, well, this is it. I mean, it's so funny because if you go through my WhatsApp group with my mates who I go to all the games with, some of the messages have aged absolutely dreadfully. Like, was it when we first got the draw, Ollie just kept on sending a link for stab-proof boxes. And there was this running joke about stab-proof boxes the entire group stage, and nothing's happened. And I think some of my comments have aged so badly, but it's, you know, it is what it is. You know, a shout out to a lad I saw on Tuesday night. It was his birthday, actually. And I told them to be careful. I said, they'll lull you into a false sense of security so you think everything's okay and they're not going to attack you. And then bang, they'll come out of a back alley. And that's exactly what happened. So it's something I was aware of. That's why I didn't wear colours. We weren't singing in the street. We were probably, I think what Chris said, the main thing was that we were talking very loudly.
Yeah.
But it's just a group of mates walking along the street. It's no excuse to attack and stab someone. It's you're just walking along the street and just having a laugh, probably being loud, taking the piss out of each other, as mates do.
Yeah, I don't think I could have done anything more different, to be honest.
No. So, yeah, what a day. What a day following the football club.
What a week.
And I will say one thing, hasn't put me off going to another European game or a game in Italy ever again. I think I'll be a lot more careful.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that, mate.
Yeah, no, don't worry. We sorted that problem out, didn't we?
The club are looking after you in weird ways, but they've looked after you.
They've
done that for you.
Yeah, and no, it hasn't put me off. Nothing will stop the sort of love I've got for the football club. And we'll carry on. I still love European football. European football amazes me, and some of the displays in the Roma far end looked amazing with their flags. And I think I said that to a Roma supporter, because even a couple of Roma supporters and an Italian, a guy who has a page that literally just says Italian ultra support, he reached out to me and said, "Sorry, this happened to you, man." You know, and I said, no, it's no hard feelings. You know,
I did see one more tweet that I did. I think you replied to it as well, Jack. It was quite funny. I think it was like, you know, the tweet from Away Days that tweeted about.
Oh,
you.
Yeah.
And then someone quoted it going, what an absolute terrible 24 hours he's had.
Yeah.
He obviously got stabbed and then went to the game and then saw his team get whooshed 4-0
at
Rome. I was like, yeah, that just sums up, I think, your experience and also, I think, every Brighton fan's experience in Rome.
Yeah, and it just sums up what it is following this football club. You know, you have some of the best days ever that I've ever had in my life. Like, I'm looking now at a framed poster in my room of Albion versus Marseille with Pascal Gross doing a Cruyff turn, like on arguably one of the best moments in my life when João Pedro scored that winner against Marseille, to arguably what most people would say one of the worst days of your life. But in reality, all it was quite a good situation to come out of it all. So it is what it is.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Cheers for that,
Jack.
Should
we talk about the game then?
Yeah. I'm going to get a bacon sandwich. All I wanted to say was...
Let the man eat.
All I wanted to say on the game is I thought we slightly, as a fan base, underestimated Roma. There's a lot of quality in that side. You forget about Lukaku, Dybala... I think we shouldn't worry. It's our first experience in Europe. Life's a roller coaster. We just got to ride it.
What a way to end that.
Goodbye.
Jack Albion.
Nice one, Jack.
Bang on time, Ben.
Give him lots of messages. I'm sure you've got lots of love anyway. I think everyone's probably messaged you already. So, but if you haven't, make sure to.
And if I haven't responded, I'm sorry. I've had so many, but I've tried to respond to everyone. Sorry, just another very quickly. People want to shout out was Jack Hinchwood for dropping me a message. Thank you very much. The barman who I was talking to about non-league football in Amsterdam, who followed me on Instagram, he dropped me a message to say, saw you on the news, remember you from the pub, you're a really nice guy. And then a load of the Leverkusen lads who I know, who over to watch Leverkusen. They've come over here a few times. A load of them have messaged me to ask me if I'm okay. So it's really nice to get a message from them. Loads of people. And even more bizarre, another person I met when I went to Athens, I went to an Olympiakos youth game, which was free. And there was a guy who was quite quiet sitting in the back. And I went and had a chat with him. And he was a Kiel fan, Holstein Kiel. And he dropped me a message to say, I remember you talking to me that game for 5 minutes. And just wanted to check you're okay. You seem like a really nice guy, really passionate about football. So he was really nice. So it is really nice to get messages from people you just wouldn't expect. So,
Nice. And it is very true. You're very passionate about the game.
And that was it. My genuine op, who dropped me a message, see him okay. Shout out to Toon Poles. Toon Poles dropped me a message. Toon Poles dropped me a message to say, are you okay?
I actually laughed out loud.
My op even came to say thank you. So or to ask if I'm okay. So big thank you to him. So yeah, it's all good. Okay. So I'll let you talk about the game without me.
Yeah. Well, thank you,
Jack,
for coming on, Jack.
It's been an absolute pleasure, mate.
Yeah. Excellent.
Really nice to speak to you. And I'm glad you're all right. I'm glad Goob is all right as well.
Talk about the game without you, mate, but at least you are here to help us before.
Should I just leave it running?
That's right, we'll sign off. But yeah, we'll be back for part two very shortly. Peace.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, that was lovely to speak to Jack. I hope he's enjoying his bacon sandwich now. and yeah, just glad that he's well. Glad that Andy's well as well. Because obviously he's not in the online space as much as Jack, because that would be impossible. But glad they're both okay and well. Let's talk about the game, unfortunately. A lot happened. I'm just going to go straight off the bat and say probably the player that played the best for us was Jason Steele, who I was the most disappointed to see in the starting lineup, to be honest. Ryan, I'll come to you first. What were your thoughts on the game?
Good question. if I was to pick out good players, yeah, Steele was actually pretty decent, to be fair. I just hate the back three, mate. That's what I just take away from it. I just hate the back three. I hate how we can see goals. But as Jack said rightly, I mean, obviously, maybe some underestimated Roma. I don't think we did specifically. I think we probably did give them enough credit, and we were quite worried about them, weren't we, beforehand. But yeah, 4-0 by any stretch in the first leg is pretty embarrassing, isn't it? And it's pretty unretrievable from there, obviously, for the second. So I'm not feeling great about it, I've got to be honest. But the amount of injuries, the amount of stuff we've got as well, we've always got to take into consideration, I suppose. But don't excuse some of them performances at the same time.
No. Even with that team, though, you think that it shouldn't have been 4-0. And I mean, I think it goes down to game management, but I guess I'll ask the same question to you, Maz. What were your immediate thoughts of that result?
Yes. Yeah. I tweeted out after the game. I was like, individual errors, injuries aside, obviously doesn't help. But at the same time, I think you have to have some questions now at De Zerbi. Look, straight off the bat, I think he's a fantastic manager. He's done incredible things with us. He's got us to Europe in the first place. Do you know what I mean? You can't put the guy down. However, we have to ask questions about this three at the back, and then for us to go three at the back and then at 4-0 to then think, right, we're going to go back to a back four, and we actually looked a little bit better and a bit more secure at the back. Like, why did it take you to get to 4-0 to make those changes? And at halftime, brought Ansu Fati on and didn't change the system, and I thought, we're 2-0 down at this point. We need to just try something, because if it does... Remember, the biggest fear we had in that podcast, we said, as long as we don't lose 3-0 or, you know, by a big goal margin, we can go back to the Amex and we can have a fighting chance. And De Zerbi, in my opinion, didn't give us that chance. Now we go into the second leg defeat. Unless it's a miracle which only the likes of Barcelona and Liverpool have done in the past, like in recent years in European football, we are out of the Europa League. And in my opinion,
it's never even happened in Europa League, has it?
Tactical decisions that Well, no, exactly. So for me personally, I think you do have to question De Zerbi's tactics going into that game. And also for the last three or four games where he's playing this back three, like Ryan said, it's clearly not worked. So why are you still adamant? You've got to adapt. You've got to stop being so stubborn. I think that's what it is with him. Sometimes he's a bit too stubborn and too resolute in his decisions and his tactics. It's like, You know it's not working. We just got beat 3-0 by Fulham the week before, albeit a rotated side. Surely you have to think about different system, different players, different. Just try and switch up. And I know it's difficult with injuries and you know, individual errors from Dunk, and even for the first goal, that pass was too easy. Like it was just poor, individual mistakes, and of course a questionable offside for the third goal as well. There's lots of factors and variables, but at the same time, I think we have to look at De Zerbi in some aspect and think, has he made the right choice? Probably not.
No, I think, it does. That match really does go to game management. And, I don't want to slate the manager. I don't think he has to go as well. I thought some people say it being like, he's got three games left to prove himself. Like, you're mad.
That's, I know, mental, it's like
playing three at the back for the past, what, like nine games, wherever it's been. And I think we've probably got one decent result out of it. That's literally throwing shit at the wall and hoping something sticks.
Yeah. And against a poor Sheffield United side as well, Ben. It's not like we beat, I don't know, Liverpool, City or someone, you know,
who we've got coming up, by the way. Like, De Zerbi's plan B is his plan A. And that's just pretty poor. I think you really need to sort something out. And if you see something not working, change it. I mean, I don't know, Ryan, would you, when, you know, we go, what, 2-0 down in the second half, in the first half, sorry. In that moment, are you thinking, right, let's shut up shop and it's just damage limitation now, rather than, I know the second half we were a lot better, but then we were still so open at the back. There's so many gaps all over the pitch for Roma to just put simple balls over the top and for us to make mistakes like we did in the first half. But yeah, when we went in half time, do you think, right, let's just be defensive here and hold on for a 2-0 and just try not to concede anymore?
I've got to be honest, I wouldn't have backed us defensively to do that. I would think if we did just park the bus, I think we'd have probably even conceded more, because a lot, as you say, a lot of the goals are from individual errors. So then to rely on that to not happen would be like suicide, to be honest. But at the same time, I do agree to an extent on the way we don't change things. I mean, obviously the plan B thing is a bit worrying. I mean, it's happened a lot, hasn't it now? I'm going to watch what I say, because I'm going to see him in about 2 hours time. I do think at the same time, it needs to get to a point where there is a second option, where you don't have to just rely on João Pedro for a goal or Adingra to create something in the first half, who I did think was quite good, by the way. I didn't think it was all completely doom and gloom like it feels, because I do think there are some decent performers out there. But obviously, when you then get hit for that third, which I did think was offside, by the way, as well, then we're weak, aren't we? Our biggest problem this season has been conceding quickly and early. And I think it's happened again, hasn't it? And it really needs to be looked at, because, you know, you talk about defensively, you look at the individuals we've got. Van Hecker's been good for us. Lewis Dunk's been great for us. Estupiñán in the past has been great for us. Igor's been good for us. So then, you know, it clearly isn't the actual personnel, in what they're like. It's more about the mentality. It feels like that anyway. The nature of the goals, the weakness in midfield, I think, is obvious, and that has been since we got rid of McAllister Caicedo, and it would always come back to that. Unfortunately, it's going to be the same conversation with that anyway.
We said it before the game, didn't we? Their midfield is so much stronger than ours.
Yeah.
Like, having that,
I said that too.
Yeah. Is Gilmour.
So it's easy for him.
I know Baleba played well against Fulham. I would have had Baleba just for some strength and physicality in the game.
Played well at Fulham as well, didn't he?
He was nowhere to be seen. Yeah, exactly.
But it's the thing with Baleba. I think, you know how we're talking about how Evan Ferguson's not the strongest off the bench, and, you know, we talk about certain players being better when starting. And I think Baleba's a great example of that. I don't think he's a player to come off the bench and give you that impact. I just don't think he is. I think he needs to start from the off, you know, give you a foundation to begin the game, and then you can bring him off maybe with 20 minutes to go if you need to, or wherever, if you want to switch things up at 60 minutes or whatnot. I just feel like we don't have anyone off the bench to come off the bench and think, right, this can swing the game now. Like, we don't have those impact subs, unfortunately, right now. And it's frustrating. Even Ansu Fati came on, and I know it was a lackluster display from most of the team, but he didn't come on. He showed sparks, but he didn't exactly come on and change the game in the way we probably wanted.
You want like a Mitoma-esque appearance, don't you, from Ansu? It's the quality level, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's frustrating.
Even like, what's the mystery of Valentin Barco? How is he not in the Europa League squad? I mean, we signed him.
I think we signed him too late. Or was he registered?
We signed him in January. So
yeah, like, someone said in the last video he's definitely registered.
So where the hell was he? God knows. I mean, like, I know maybe he wouldn't have made a huge impact off the bench if he was ever brought on, because I also don't really know.
And Ciso as well. Like, I think we rushed him back. I'm not saying he's been poor. I just don't think he's ready. Yeah, exactly. He's been rushed back, and I get it. Again, injuries and, you know, all these things that we keep talking about. But why not? I don't know. I can't even think of who else. But I just don't think he was ready. And correct me if I'm wrong, for the first goal, he was the one who didn't track back for Dybala's run, I'm pretty sure. Or I could be wrong. It might have been Igor.
But you'd like to hope that you've got Ansu Fati starting the game. Like, that he's on loan from Barcelona at 250 grand a week. Like, yeah, this is the sort of person you want to be starting the game from the beginning. I mean, I know he's young and I know he's had his problems. Yeah. It's not including that. But at the same time, at some point, someone needs to help out and, you know, step in for players like Mitoma and step in for these sort of things. So I think that the blame's collective, I think. You know, it's not just Azerbe. It's not just Bloom and for not signing and whatever. It's not just the players. It's everyone. You know, everyone needs to take as much accountability. And actually on that, the one thing that I was quite disappointed with was, obviously, I wasn't at the game. So I didn't see the players at full time, but I heard that not many of them come over, and the same's happened in the past. I mean, I remember Villa 6-1, and then, you know, you didn't see many come over. But you know, you want some players to, you know, like when we win a game and we've just beaten Tottenham, for example, everyone's posting about it on their social media afterwards. We've just lost and been quite humiliated. We want some apologies and some players to step up and take it on the chin a little bit. And that's probably one thing I'd say is lacking, is some players just to come out and take some accountability and say, look, we weren't good enough, we need to sort it out, because that's the least you sort of deserve as fans, especially the ones that have travelled out there, and for the prices and also the danger as well, with obviously Jack's story.
Yeah, I'm not sure who did and didn't come and clap. I know, like you said, some players did come and clap, but no, I completely agree, mate. Like, you should come out and maybe not be like completely apologetic, but yeah, some sort of apology, or just like, we'll come back.
Just own up a little bit, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, it's like, cool, you post an Instagram post, but I want to see you perform. Like, I want to see you do it on the pitch. It's all great saying,
sorry, lads.
Like,
yeah, I know that.
Whoopsie. Do you know what I mean? I get what you're saying. I do agree. I think you have to be accountable, and you have to show a bit of remorse, because obviously it was a pretty embarrassing and gutting performance. So yeah, of course you want them to be, you know, say all the right things, but at the same time, come Sunday, Nottingham Forest, let's see a reaction. Like, come out, play, and show us that you are committed. You are, you know, you do care, and you want to win games. And look, I know we shouldn't. It's not all doom and gloom just because we're out of Europa League. It doesn't matter. Like, it's not the end of the world. But just show a bit of fight, show a bit of passion, and show that you care, I suppose. And that's all we ask for.
Yeah. The biggest thing I took away from Thursday night was you could see immediately from as soon as the whistle went, the confidence levels in both teams. Like, Roma's run has been incredible. I know they've been playing against weaker opposition in Serie A, but they've still been an incredible run under De Rossi. I think someone said that he's only lost once in his first 10 or something like that. They were so confident and playing it around us for fun. And then you see us, and our confidence was completely shot. I mean, from the off, like, Lukaku has that chance really early on the header, a great save by Jason Steele. And then you've got your captain, Lewis Dunk, unfortunately making the mistakes. Maybe you could say he made two mistakes. Yeah. You know, the first one he tried to reach, I haven't seen an angle where he could have got it. Potentially that would be harsh, I think that was a mistake. But definitely
I think it was more positioning on the first one. He was him and whoever it was. It was just that massive gap where Dybala just run through.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's that thing, like, Igor was getting stretched out to the left, and then there'll be a huge gap there. I mean, it didn't really look like we had anyone playing right wing, which was just very strange. And when Lamptey was going up there, it would leave more spaces. It's like the high line, and everything was just completely wrong. But I think, the most disappointing thing is, you know, conceding a normal goal will be fine, but when it's down to errors and like individual errors, that's when it's really, really hard to take, especially when it's your captain, Lewis Dunk. You know, it's such. I'm sure he's absolutely gutted that he might feel that he's let the team down in a couple of occasions there. That's not signalling him out, because a lot of players did let the team down that game. Even the managers probably let the fans down with some of his decisions and, well, lack of changes potentially. But just the confidence levels in our team, I'm absolutely shitting it for Sunday. I really don't see us actually getting a result against Forest. I know they're not in the best of form either, but they're probably looking at us and thinking, God, these guys are so down bad at the moment. their level, they're going to be absolutely shattered after a pumping 4-0. Really can't see us getting a result at Forest, but that's just the mentality I've got now after watching Brighton recently.
Just quickly going back to your earlier question, Ben, as well, about how you said how did you feel going to the second half. I generally, like, off the first half, I know we were 2-0 down, but that chance with Odingo where he hit the post, I think Welbeck had a header in the first half as well.
Right at the end.
Literally, on the stroke of half time.
Welbeck was so, good,
like,
actually.
I actually thought, do you know what? Going forward, Welbeck was great. I thought, do you know what? Second half, we can grab some. So, yeah, I don't want it to be all doom and gloom. Like, we actually did look okay in the first half, but then I think that third goal, and in my opinion, that was an offside. That was offside.
Let's talk.
I think
about
that just killed the game for me.
How's that happened?
Why is that? Because his legs were on, but his shoulder was off. So, what's the rules? I don't get it.
That looked off, didn't it? Like, I'm not going mad. Like, I didn't think I was just being salty and stuff. That was off, wasn't it?
No, mate. His shoulder was way off, but I think his legs were on. And I don't know what the rules are anymore. Does UEFA have different rules?
In the old days, that's onside. But nowadays, God knows what it is. So I don't know. So yeah, I don't even know the rules. But they didn't even put the red line on, did they?
You know that offside account? That's what I was going to say. You know that, like, the famous offside account that's on Twitter that does all, like, it reports all, like, the dodgy decisions and stuff like that? They were saying, they said that they didn't put the lines on properly. And when everyone was asking, where's that AI-generated one that Champions League have? Only the Champions League and Serie A have that technology. I mean, we're playing against a team that are playing the Serie A, so why is it not possible to have...
Let's say this was a league match
and we lost 4-0. Yeah, a goal doesn't make a difference in the league, but, you know, imagine if we're going to the Amex, three instead of four... There's a glimmer of hope that we can score three goals against them in 90 minutes.
And also, not just that, Ben, but the way we conceded,
we miss out by one goal, Ryan.
We conceded. Sorry, we got a delay. The way we conceded straight after, you know, look, it might be delusional to suggest this, and I think we would still probably have conceded again anyway. But who's to say that couldn't have happened? Who's to say that the momentum doesn't change if that gets given offside and Brighton go up the other end and have a chance again? So, look, I know it's far-fetched. I know it didn't happen. It's all hypothetical, you know, fairyland. But at the same time, I don't think it's that unreasonable to suggest that the tides might have turned a little bit. And as you say, Ben, going at home at 4-0, you know, it seems like it is a very tall order. And, you know, as much as I want to believe, and I do believe, I'll be there and I'll be cheering the team on, and don't get wrong, I'm not going to be the downbeat and thinking what's the point, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I know deep down in my head it's not going to happen, and it's just about enjoying the last game. And I think that's the trouble. And as you say, I just want to continue on your point about confidence. I think I saw Lallana did an interview about it. We don't want to lose our confidence, and, you know, the sort of swag we've been playing with for about 2 years now. We were on four losses in a row for the first time, and I remember a quote from De Zerbi, I think Ned posted it, where he said, if I lose 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in a row, Bloom asked that in the interview, didn't he? You know, if you lose 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in a row, what are you going to do? And he said, that's not going to happen. Well, what's going to happen now? You know, where's the fight back? What's the bounce back from you? I think that's what the biggest question marks are going to be now. Not saying I doubt it, by the way. Just asking the question.
I know this is going to sound really like Ben Spalding in here, but so I'm playing Football Manager. I'm really into it at the moment, and I'm managing Worthing, right? And I just won the quadruple, right? Just won the quadruple. Shout out to Worthing. I'm in the Premier League, obviously, and the following season I started terribly. I was losing loads of games, all that kind of stuff. And I thought, do you know what? I'm going to change my formation. I thought, we'll do a bit of a tactical switch here. And guess what? Lo and behold, I start getting results again. So it feels like when things are going poorly, why don't we just look at maybe doing things differently? Maybe we try and not play three at the back. That would be quite good. And then play four at the back, maybe.
That'd be nice.
Just try and switch things up, switch your personnel up. So that's all I ask for, Mr. De Zerbi. I'm not a manager. You are. And you are one of the better managers in the league. But let's just maybe try and switch things up, maybe, because we've had four losses on the bounce. Maybe something's going wrong. I'm not too sure, but yeah, it'd be great if you could maybe just switch things up. Yours sincerely, Maz.
Yeah, that was very Ben bringing up Football Manager.
Look,
I know you're saying that Ryan, obviously you lost four in a row. Could we do six? I mean, Forest, like I said, if we do lose to that, yeah, that's five. I for some reason I don't think we're going to lose to Roma on Thursday, just because I feel like the players are going to really have something to prove, even if it is our confidence is in the mud. Thank God City's postponed, because that would have been
that would have been a right knockdown
at this rate. If our confidence is still the same, and then Liverpool after that.
Joshua and Garney, mate, two rounds.
Could have been a lot worse. Yeah, we would have been cooked. So the fixtures aren't the best. I mean, Forest is the easiest one out of all of those. And then, yeah, Roma at home, City proposed postponed. So I'm guessing that's a weekend we're not playing because of FA Cup. And then Liverpool. So it's not the best run of games whilst our confidence is this low with injuries and that sort of thing. Unless a miracle happens on Thursday, which I really want to believe in, but just with where our confidence is at the moment, I cannot see it for the life of me. We can score goals. Our team scores goals. We can do it. But it's just whether or not we can... I mean, yeah. If we beat Forest, that confidence is going to, our confidence is going to go so much higher. And then there's that little bit of me that goes, we could potentially do it. We could.
We either go, mate, we either go all guns blazing at Forest, right? Go back four and just go and absolutely wipe them 6-0 or something to give everyone that confidence. You know, like how we used to do when we lost a bad game and we'd come back and we'd just absolutely blitz the next relegation for the team. But I don't know, there's something about that that's just sort of faded away at the moment. There's not quite that we're going to go out there and smack them sort of situation. Yeah. It's more like I would be lucky to get through that and come out with a draw. And I think that's the mentality difference that we're missing. And it is down to João Pedro and Mitoma missing. Don't get me wrong. We have to remember that too.
Yeah. Also as well, just quickly, that fourth goal, just final thing on Roma for me. When that fourth goal went in, it was like a fucking hammer to the stomach. Because I was like, don't get me wrong, 3-0 down, I was like in the mud. But when that fourth one went in, because it was so quickly after the third as well, and the sort of anger I had from the third, because I still believe it was offside, to then for them to score so quickly, make it four, it was just like, it's really done now. Like at 3-0, you could dream, you can be like, right, we can go back to the Amex and score three and take it to extra time. But with that fourth gun, I was just like, yeah, like what's the point? Like, what is the actual point? So yeah, sorry if I don't share the same optimism as you guys. It's very pessimistic from my side at the moment, just because of the four goals for me is just impossible.
I think it's close enough
because Roma aren't bad; they're not bad side.
No,
they're a very good side.
The thing is, could you just imagine the vibe at the Amex if at half time it's 2-0 or 3-0 to us? You know, we say we do start really loud. Remember Sheffield Wednesday in the playoffs? And I think it was Lewis Dunk, wasn't it, scored in the first 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And the whole roof just came off. I remember it so specifically, that moment. And then obviously, I think it was Wallace, wasn't it, put the ball across and then it's gone in past Stockdale. And I think that was the moment where we thought, right, it's all over, because now we've got a mountain to climb. And that was at 2-0 away from home with four injuries. It's a bit different ball game, isn't it? Because this is Roma, not Sheffield Wednesday in the Europa League, not the Championship, with four goals and not two. I get that. But just imagine the vibe at the Amex. If we do go in at half-time 2-0, look, you have to dream. What's the point in going to the game?
Just an early
next
goal,
Thursday,
Ryan.
Down. Yeah, an early goal. What's the point? This is how I'm going to look at it. I'm going to go there and want to win.
That's where the atmosphere goes. Yeah. If we get an early goal, then the atmosphere in the Amex, which it should be anyway, it should be... We need to get behind the team. We're not just like let's just hope we win this game, win this leg. That'd be nice. But if we get that early goal, then the atmosphere will change. And even Dunk's early goal against Palace, the atmosphere was rocking. And then you get a quick goal after that and a quick goal after that. So that's the only thing
four
we can hope for
Brighton
is that early goal. Because if it
isn't
goes...
It's a hard ask for the Brighton of these days. We are capable of scoring four goals in the game. 100%.
But then Ryan, we need to not concede, which
four.
We do.
Yeah, we can't concede
game.
Four. We might
if we concede
four,
again, then we have to go six. So yeah. Look, right. But then again, that was the exact scoreline of the
Wolves
Barca game. Barca 6-1 against PSG. Difference is we don't have UEFA corruption on our side, but Roma do. I don't know.
Or Lionel Messi.
Yeah, or Messi or Neymar. Yeah, some of them would be nice. I'll stop dreaming, sorry. I don't know what else to say.
I think we've kind of covered Roma. I want to say the city was brilliant. Like a lot of walking before 5 PM on the first day. I'd done like 22,000 steps with everyone. It was nuts. We would walk from the Vatican City to the Colosseum. Ended up being at the Colosseum like three times whilst walking around the city. It is mental. Like, if you haven't been, it's really nice. I'm sure it'd be great to go with a girlfriend if we had one. Sorry,
depends you two.
I'm very lonely. But it's nice to do it. Nice to do it with the Brighton boys. That's the main thing. So it gave me an excuse to go to Rome. And yeah, it was incredible. The shame about the result. And all the incident that happened on the first night. Otherwise, great trip. Yeah. And McToasties.
All that aside, great.
McToasties are 10 out of 10.
Well, a McToasties saved you getting attacked.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I didn't get to say. So yeah, I was literally, I said to this kid called Aaron, I was like, right, let's go Mackie. So I was loading up the Lime scooter, whizzed past everyone. And then, yeah, apparently like moments after that is when it all kicked off. So the McToastie saved me. So thanks, George Graham, as well, for putting me on McToasties.
Other than that, how's the play?
How are they?
Not great.
They're very good.
Not great.
They're very good. But otherwise, yeah. I feel like we kind of covered for us as well a little bit apprehensive about it. But if we do get a great result, then surely that carries us in good stead to Thursday when we'll beat them 5-0 before extra time.
I mean, we've got to get through Forest as well. I mean, anyway. Look, mate, put it this way. I'm going to put a question to you boys before we wrap up. Obviously, look. The chances are Europa League's pretty done, right? If we look at the Premier League now, because we have to, nothing else. I mean, look, there's some good teams around us. Manchester United, Newcastle, Tottenham, and there's one other, Wolves. When you look at the teams around us, obviously they're all on form, apart from Newcastle and United. What's the aim? Like, what would be now a good season for us? Because obviously we're out of everything, pretty much, to be confirmed on Thursday. So we want Conference League, which I don't know where it actually is. Is it 7th or 8th? 7th or 8th?
I think could it depends on who wins what, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the coefficients.
Right, so it could be 8th.
Like if we do get 5th in Champions League, I think it carries down, right?
Right. So what's the success like? Conference League would obviously, right now, you'd snap your hand off for it, wouldn't you?
Conference League.
But 100%. Then what if we do go on a bit of a run? Yes. Are you then going to want Europa League again?
Mate, I can't see it. Mate, at the moment, I can't see us going on a run in this moment of time. It's nice to think that. But I mean, you know what? If after an international break, when we're out of Europa League, that gives us a really good opportunity to just reset and go. Exactly. And yeah, so... focusing on the league could be a massive benefit because we're slipping down that and we don't want to be doing that. I think we really do want to be getting Conference League for next season. That would be a huge achievement considering what we've been through this year. So I think, yeah, that the international break is really going to come as a blessing in disguise. Not even in disguise, just a blessing full stop, because we can reset and set some objectives for the final push for the end of the season.
Yeah, that's what I said. Obviously, after Thursday night, like I was chatting to a guy called Burnham, who we work with. And yeah, the first immediate thing I said in my, like, just to sort of bring myself back, because I was fuming, my head was on Mars. I was like, do you know what? This is good for us, because now we can focus on the league. You know, we don't have the distraction of Europa League to worry about two games a week, etc. But yeah, I will take your, I would bite your hand off for Conference League right now. I think, yeah, if we finish 8th, I think that'd be a great achievement considering the amount of injuries we've had and all the, you know, things that have gone on and, you know, battling with, what, 3 competitions up until 2 weeks ago. So yeah, you know, we've done well, man. Like, we always got to remember. We played Roma. Final thing I'll say on Roma is they were in the final last year. They usually get Champions League. They're a very, very established European side with the likes of Dybala, Pellegrini, Lukaku, Cristante. Like, they got a very, very good side. And I think we just got to remember, like, yeah, the better team won on the night and we weren't great. And yeah, they're an established European side and there's no sort of shame in going out to Roma in the Europa League, to be honest.
Yeah, and shout out to Rossi as well, because his interview after the game was very nice and humble. He was basically saying, like, how we're great club, didn't deserve to lose 4-0 on the night. He was very honest about that, which was nice. And he's saying that he's looking forward to coming to Brighton finally, because he's said to De Zerbi he'll come and meet him, but he said that every time he tries to get a flight it gets cancelled, so he's never actually come. So
hopefully he gets cancelled this time round.
Yeah,
they don't have a manager. Hopefully, even if win 4-0.
even if they forfeit the game 3-0, we're still not enough, unfortunately, man. So.
No, they just won't have just to. They won't have to Rossi there, so hopefully they won't be as good. So,
oh yeah, they'll just pull out some other Italian legend that they've had before, and he'll manage him fine.
Totti,
Totti will come back from the stands. That'll be quite something. Yes,
selfie celebration.
That's it. That's Brighton's time in Europe. There is hope. 5% of me thinks we can do it. We've seen Brighton score many goals at the Amex in recent years. Why can't we do it again? And we'll leave it on that. Thank you, Maz. Thank you, Ryan.
Don't answer that question either.
Don't. Just let it simmer. Let's just start building the miracle. We're waiting on a miracle. Sean Millis. Let's bring him back from the dead and have him perform for the match. That'd be great.
And also, shout out to yourself, Ben, as well. For coming on a Saturday in the morning. I know it's been a long week for you.
A lot of travels.
A lot of travelling. And the same. Likewise for Jack. With Jack as well. So we appreciate you both.
A lot of traumas as well.
It's been good. It's been nice to talk about it. Yeah, a lot of trauma. On the pitch and off the pitch. All right, we'll see you after Forest. Let's hope we can get a win. That'd be nice.
That'd be good.
That'd be good.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.